हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 26. So then the doubt, Shankya philosophy differs from Vedanta in its view of the cause of the creation because it apprehends that the creation arose essentially from nothingness. Purvapaksha, if the world is different from its material cause, it means that the effect, the world, must have not previously existed in Brahman, the material cause, before the creation of the universe. Because everything was previously one entity, Brahman, this gives rise to the world being asat or non-existent in the cause. But this goes against our theory that the effect is its existence in the cause, sat karyavad, footnote 13. According to sat karyavad, the effect exists in its cause prior to its manifestation. That means that before something manifests, it's already there in the cause. Like in Krishna, there's already the material creation before it's manifest. Right, that's what we see. Rupa Goswami discussed that point with Baladev. It, already within his personality is the concept of the material creation. In other words, that aspect, I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. But it's just there within Baladev. He doesn't manifest it. Neither does Mahanarayan. It's only when the expansion from Sankar, Mahasankarshan in Mahavishnu, then you take that mentality. But it's already there before, right? And then, because it's there, then there is the creation, so it's already there in the Lord. Yeah.
But isn't it what we say, right?
No. They're saying it goes against this theory. You know, so that's the whole point of theirs, is that anything of the Vedas that goes against their theory, they don't accept.
So they don't accept that everything existed in Brahman before it was manifested.
They do as long as it supports their philosophy. Because when it doesn't, then they start coming up with new philosophies.
Yeah. As you mentioned that the effect exists, you know, with Sankarshana or with Rama. The Shris mentioned that then the universe winds up, you know, it exists in Ananta. So why are they referring to the last expansion?
Ananta.
Yeah.
Because the point is it's all the same person, because he's the one that deals with it. Because it's, as you see the expansions go, then you're dealing more and more with it. He's the last expansion. That's why he's called Sesha. It doesn't really matter the detail. Because if you say Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu means it includes Ananta Sesha. Yeah, like that. Siddhanta Srila Vyasadeva addresses the above as follows. Sutra 2, 1, 7. Asad iti chen na pratishedha matravata. Asad, non-existence, absolute nothing. Iti, thus, chet, if, na, not, pratishedha, denial, prohibition, matravata, because merely. If you claim the effect is not in the cause, the answer is no, because there was denial of likeness of cause and effect in regards to some qualities. Right? Because they're not taking it in everything, they're just taking it where it works for them. That's where the problem comes. Is until you get to this kind of level, then it seems that their philosophy is quite logical. Yeah, because it's just going through the mechanics. The mechanics are very well set out. Those mechanics are actually given in the Vedas. So, but because they only accept that much of the process. Right? Mechanics are just the external aspect of the principle aspect. Right? The principle is there. The principle includes all these secondary details because the energies of the Lord include all those aspects. But because they don't take the energies back to the Lord, that's where the problem comes up. All these philosophies are not seeing it coming from the Lord. Right? They're always seeing that it comes from Pradhan, and if you prove that Pradhan can't be the cause, then they'll say it comes from nothing. They won't take it back that it comes from the Lord. Right? The easiest solution, but they just don't do that. Does that make sense? It's just somehow, because they have to maintain their mundane status. Otherwise, they would have to take up the spiritual position. And then that means surrendering to the Supreme, and that's not what they want to do. Right? That's why you see there's a pattern that they all follow. There may be some little bit different, but it's the same pattern. It's just like cooking. It's the same principles that are there. But depending upon where you emphasize the details, you end up with the different cuisines of the world. Right? Or a different preparation. Right? But it's still cooking. So in the same way, it's still materialism. It's still karma and jnana. And it won't get beyond that because they don't want to go beyond that. They just want to have a philosophy for why they're doing something. It just makes them feel better. Does that make sense? You just kind of haphazardly do things. Some people that works for, but other people know they have to have a structure to why they do their things. Even if they're philosophy supports their haphazard lifestyle. Like we mentioned, there's that one French walla, the real degraded one. What did we mention? What was that?
Existentialist?
I think so, but he's the one that he was a total debauchee in one of his friends.
Descartes.
Yeah, so there he made up a philosophy to support his total nonsense. So, like that, the whole idea is they want to continue in their materialistic position. They just need a philosophy to support it. Right? It's not that what they're doing is any different than anybody else. It's just that they need a philosophy. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why they're jnanis, because they use the intelligence and all that. Does that make sense?
But if you assume for a moment that Pradhan is the end, that is the supreme, okay, according to the Sankhyas, then what is the gain of the Sankhya philosophers in that? Because they, in Pradhan will be supreme, anyway they will not be supreme.
No, that's the whole point, because then why does, see if Pradhan is the end, and it's the one causing all this, why is it doing all this? Because of us.
Yeah.
So that makes us the center, not God. We may not be the supreme, but we're still the center.
Yes.
That's just like the baby is not the supreme, but it's the center.
Yes.
And so it's good.
Yes. Mm. Right? Yes. In order to accept Krishna, we need to recognize that we are a fool.
Yes, and generally that's your probably biggest stumbling block for those who deem themselves intelligent. Right? Is that they can't give up that false ego. Just like someone with money can't give up that I'm special. It's rare. If you find a rich man who's very, you know, natural and very humble, it's rare. It's not a standard. If we said that he's rich and he's puffed up, everyone will just accept that's normal. Right? So someone who has knowledge, someone who has power, someone who has money, someone who has fame, right? Any of these opulences, then they just naturally popped up and identified with it. So that's the difficulty, is that it just is part of the package on the material platform. So that's why only the devotee, you can see, can be consistent in having all good qualities but not being proud. Like we're seeing with Yudhishthira Maharaj, how his behavior is that he has the qualification to be emperor of the world, and they already have so much. Right? But in that, he still maintains his pridelessness and his non-envy of other living entities. So that's an idea. Why does that come? Because he's a devotee. Nice guys may have a little here, a little there, but it'll never be as consistent and as wide-ranging as the devotees. Does that make sense? And so devotional service is the only thing that can make that happen. So if we're taking it from the platform of, you know, all these other things, we need to cultivate these things separately. But Prabhupada is already being very clear that that's not how it's done. Right? It means you have to cultivate devotional service. It includes the good qualities. Like, just like cooking includes the pots and pans, it includes the spices, it includes the, you know, the vegetables, the grains, it includes all that. I don't have to separately deal with them, separate than cooking. Does that make sense? Is there something you can do that's separate from cooking with the potatoes? Do you understand? It all goes with the thing. But we're so used to dealing with them without the main point. We have a concept that there is such a thing as separate. So therefore, it's dealt with as if it's separate, but it's not. That's why when it comes down to it, once we appreciate devotional service, then we don't make that distinction. Devotional service already includes... Does that make sense?
It means that we make the same mistake than here, the effect and the cause.
Yes, because we think we're the cause. You know, I'm doing something, I think I'm the cause. Right? So then, you know, we can put that into anything else. So, but the ultimate point is where does all this come from? Why does it happen? But they'll take it down, you know, to the atomic theory or something. You know, it's always going back to matter. That's the whole point, no matter how intelligent they are. You know. So it's just, they can't explain it. But if you have God, it's so easily explained. But if it's that easy explained, then we have to accept that superior position. We have to surrender. That's what they want to avoid. Right? So then you just come up with all kinds of strange ways of doing it. So within their context they do, but if you defeat their context, then they'll use another philosophy if it'll support them. So in this case, they've taken shelter of the Buddhistic idea. Even though there's no necessity, but, you know, already their philosophy has been defeated, so now you go with that. So in doing this, you defeat them and defeat the Buddhist. You know, so you do both at once. So it's, yes?
You can say that they accept Jnana and Kriya Shakti, but then they misplace the Gicha, they put it on the living entities instead of the Lord.
Yes, yes. Because that the material consciousness means we're the Icha. It's our desire. Now, whether it's karma or jnana is the way we want to please ourselves. It means I think I can enjoy nicely in this world, then it's going to be karma. And if I find I can't do, I'll become pessimistic and it'll be jnana. Like that. But it's always that. That's why we're always, that's the point is, one, we're not the body because we think we are the body and we'll enjoy through that. We're the soul. And the soul is servant of God. So just knowing I'm the soul and not servant of God, it's not enough. Because that just brings us to the liberated platform, so we can still maintain the material consciousness. So that's why then you have to have a clean sweep. That's why we always take it to that point. We may say, oh, we're repeating over and over again because everyone else is repeating. But ours, because it's so clear and exact, it appears that I've heard this so many times. But the karmis, they come up with, you know, manifold different ways of being a karmi or jnani. And so it appears that there's such a variety, and we always say the same thing. That's the whole point, is whatever they say, it's the same solution. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, the mother comes into the room and tells the child, you know, the son, to pick up his stuff in his room. He'll have a million excuses, and her point is, nope, pick up the room. No, but I gotta do this. Yeah, pick up the room. You know, so, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it appears, so we're so used to the karmi's thing that we think that there's something happening there. But it's only the variety is happening, but why variety happens is because of the principle, cause. Right? It means because of Krishna's desire, then to please that, there's unlimited ways that can be done. We take the unlimited and say, see, there's so much more. This only has one thing. You know, it's just like last year when we first came in, we were starting to get across the thing of the pure devotional service and making a distinction between sweetness and majesty. So, many times the point comes up is majesty has so much more happening, right? It's more complex, more sophisticated, you know, so much things. So isn't it better than sweetness, which is just so simple? You understand? It's because we're used to that. Because for us, if it's not about the principle, it's about the energy. And the energy, then it is variety. So therefore, the greater the variety, the better it is, because you're going the farthest away from the principle. Does that make sense? So the more intelligent someone is, the more sophisticated, the more they'll have this problem. So they think my materialism is better than someone else's. Even though it's the same thing. Like Prabhupada mentioned about the dog. Bhavananda Prabhu asked about that there's this dog in New York, you know, on the 84th floor penthouse suite on the Upper West Side, you know, eating at the dining table, you know, off of a plate in his fancy food. Like that, you know, probably dressed in a cashmere sweater, right? And then, you know, he wasn't imagining, right? He was just saying stuff that happens, right? And then he was saying that he's seen here is you have the local, you know, street dogs that are eating something dead that floated up from the Ganga on the bank of the Ganga. So why do you have this difference in karma that one dog has such good karma and the other one has such bad karma? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, for the dog, it doesn't matter. They couldn't care less. We're the one that does all that. They means you put it on the table, they'll eat. You put it on the floor, they'll eat. You put it on a plate, they'll eat. You put it on not on the plate, they'll eat. You put it fancy or not, they'll eat it. You put them in the cardigan or not, they don't care. You know, it's just the poodle really want to go down to the place and get you know, the buzz and everything like that, you know. No, it's generally that's one of the, what do you call it? You know, the funny pictures is the look on the face's dog when he figures out where they are. You know, you go out for a drive, and when you pull up to the place there, then it's like, oh, yeah. They don't like it, but, you know, whatever it is. Does that make sense? So, how did we get into that? That was detailed. Okay, so you go back to that principle. So they're looking for this enjoyment, but like you pointed out, is that they've switched the position of the Icha Shakti from Krishna to ourselves, to the jiva. So that's where the mistake is. But why is that mistake there? Because they want to be happy, right? So the whole point is that they want to be happy and all that. That's natural for the soul. And not having the proper understanding of that, and also lacking the piety, then they come up with and are satisfied with something that's not real. But the principle of being happy, that's already included in bhakti. Because when you please the Lord, you know, like the example of the tree and the root and the leaves, is that when you water the root, all the other parts of the tree are satisfied. So, therefore, what they're looking for in their philosophy to try to be happy on their own is already included in devotional service and way beyond their wildest expectations. Does that make sense?
One devotee, he made a summary of the third verse of Shikshastaka, and he said, happy small.
Happy small.
You think happiness means we gotta be something special, but happy small is opposition.
Yeah. Because when we accept our position, then we're quite comfortable. That's the thing. When we accept that we're jivas and we're 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, and that's it, then we're cool. That's what we are. You know, it's just like if you have somebody that's in a particular position, and let's say maybe it's not socially so acceptable, but they're comfortable with it. Immediately, everybody else has to accept their position. They can't harass them for not being like that. Let's say like somebody's short, you know, and so then they make all the jokes about being short, and they're comfortable with it. They're short. They're cool. You know, there's so many things they can do. You know, the other guys have to bend over to get the donut off the counter. They can just take it and shovel it straight into their mouth. You know, so there's so many advantages. You know, so like that, then you're immediately comfortable with the person. You know, it's nothing to harass because there are, you know, so as soon as we accept that we're the jivas and that's what we are, what our position is, then we're quite comfortable. Then we just fit into what's already going on. Because there's something very great going on. We're part of that greatness. But the bigger part already includes what we have. But because it's that wide variety, then you'll present all that together. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, in a dalna, right? Let's say it's a paneer and cauliflower dalna, okay? Now, in this case, we'll take it in the recipe, the cauliflower is deep fried, and the paneer is deep fried, right? And so that deep fried element is there in it. But along with all the masalas and everything else and the sauce and all that, it brings that being fried brings out the flavor of the total dalna. But you don't think of it as a fried preparation, right? But now let us say when we're eating the dal and we have fried cauliflower on its own, then it takes on the quality of being a fried cauliflower. It doesn't have all the other things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now you can, that adds to the other thing. Does that make sense? So then in that total picture that's there in the bigger, the internal potency, we're a part of that. They already have that. It's not that by us being there, they're missing it. That's the Mayavad idea, is that we're all these little parts and we make up God. You know, we come from God, we make up God. So us all being here, then God's not complete until we all go back into God. No, he's complete because he already has that nature, and then we have that manifestation of the nature. So that you can have both. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then you have the dalna and you have the fries. And so it just adds to the meal. If you just have the fries, it's nice, but it's not complete. It's a snack. You have the dalna and rice, it's a full meal. But if you add the fries, also it just expands it. You know, so that's what jivas do. The internal potency is already the meal. The jivas then add the little bits to just expand it and embellish it. So if we appreciate that and are comfortable with that, then it's a very nice thing. So we're making it better, but at the same time as our position, we're small. We're just a servant in that. So it's not that, yeah, I'm making it better. No, it's just, you know, it's just we're a servant. So that seeming contradiction, that's what gives the flavor. Right? We're so small, but we add something very nice. Or the other, you know, that's if we're looking at it from the positive side. We're looking at it, you know, from that side. We're looking from the other side is we're adding something so nice, but we're very small. So in other words, if the mood is right, you look at the positive one. That means they're both positive, but if their attitude's wrong, then you have to bring out, no, but we're small. You know, yes.
So in terms of cause and effect, we say there's one supreme cause and
yes,
multiple effects.
Yes.
But then it seems that for them, each cause has its own effect. Is that what they're trying to say?
It appears that they accept, because in that you have one ultimate cause, then you have an effect that's there, but then that effect becomes the cause for the next effect.
Right.
So there's a chain.
Yes.
So they'll accept the chain up to that point. That's why then for them is that what, Satkarya Vada, they'll accept that up to that one point, but after that then they don't accept it anymore. Because spiritual is different, so it doesn't work that way.
Satkaryavad is our philosophy. They are this Asatkaryavad.
Asatkaryavad. But they're accepting it in what's going on here.
Yeah,
that's the point, is they're accepting it here, but they won't take it as a philosophy. You understand? But when you say cause and effect, they'll accept that. Up to that point.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all of them will accept up to the point. We're the only ones that can keep going. That's why we don't have dogma. So it's sometimes you see people say, because we'll stick to certain points. Then, excuse me. We'll stick to certain points. And so people will try to label that as dogma. But dogma means what you're unwilling to discuss. It doesn't mean saying the same thing on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? We can use it emotionally. The dogma just means that you're seriously situated in the thing and you're stuck to that. But that's not dogma. You know?
Yeah.
Dogma means something you're not willing to accept or discuss. Like, we'll discuss whether, you know, people want to know whether Krishna is God or not. We'll discuss that. You understand? But you'll find many other philosophies, really, they're not willing to discuss that. You know, is God God, or you know, is or whoever their prophet is special? You know, no. It's that's the point at which, you know, as soon as you touch on that, then you know they have all kinds of terms for that. You're kind of saying,
but it seems to be a common flaw in many religions that they disconnect spiritual and what happens here.
Yes, yes.
So that gap they can't fill up with. It's like
yes,
and then everything goes wrong then.
Yeah, because then you'll always make, because if it doesn't, they know it's that there's, that it's somehow or another supposed to be about God, but they don't really connect because we're the cause and effect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's original cause and effect, but now he's not connected with it. So that's the deism.
Right.
So they'll accept, so their philosophy, these philosophies, is without the deism. Or they may have it there to some degree. They kind of accept they're there, but they're not going too much into it because it's not about so much a relationship. And so then that gap, they just went up to that gap, then they stop there. They don't worry about what's beyond it. God's beyond, but it's just kind of part of the scene. But there is that they'll accept up to the gap, and then after the gap.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit more bewildering for them. So it's that middle part, is that how God transforms through his energies. That's the problem, because God can't be the material world because things are going wrong. But as the supreme controller, how can he not be connected with it? So that's where the problem runs up. You know, and that one they don't really discuss. You know, how many angels on the head of a pin, maybe. Because, you know, it's just, it's how you say? It's not a matter of faith so much there. But the other ones, then you're going to have the element of faith, and how can God, because they don't accept karma, they don't accept all these things. Well, these, they'll accept those things. So they're, how far up they get before the gap is there is much higher. So the gap is quite small. The gap is between Pradhan and Mahavishnu. Basically, it's a glance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but devotees also struggle with that glance because they can't figure out how he's glancing at his internal energy. But then what comes from that side, it's an external and Shiva instead of...
Yeah, because it's a transformation.
Yeah, but that transformation is very difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, well, it's like... tracksuit, baggy t-shirt, and then high heels and the whole thing. No. I'm saying there's this transformation. Because Krishna can be and expand. We can't. You understand? So there's a transformation there. It means the one transforms into the other and back. So it's just the way energy is. Energy can do that. Krishna is non-dual. He's himself. He includes all his energies. He never transforms. He's never different from that. But energies can transform. That's the nature of them. So if that's accepted, then it works. That's that, therefore the Shakti Parinamavad. So it runs into a problem because of Brahma Parinamavad. Because we're thinking, how can Brahman change? You know, so either it has to be something different originally, but then where does that come from? I mean, like the Maya bodies, you know, or it's that if he changes, then, you know, he loses his nature. So only the Shakti Parinamavad can actually answer all these questions, right? Does that make sense? And the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, that acceptance then makes it work nicely, because we see if God's the source of everything, and everything has such variety that it's natural that between one aspect of variety and another, there'll be contradictions. But all those have their source in the Lord. Therefore, all contradictions are resolved in Him. Does that make sense? Like, let's say, just for example, I have the cauliflower, the fried cauliflower. Now, if you eat the fried cauliflower, it's nice, but it can also have the element of being heavy.
Yeah.
Right? But now, if the dalna is cooked properly, it has that fullness of flavor, but it's not heavy. Why? Even though it's much heavier than they fry, than that, because it's fried, plus it has, you know, all kinds of stuff in it. Right? Because there's chili. So the chili balances that. Now, the chili, these all are different things, but they balance each other. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that, therefore, Bhagavan means that perfect balance of everything. And depending upon what the flavor is, then the balance is you know, presented in the way to bring out the sweetness of the majesty, you know, or that combination, or the maryada, you know, the different, all these different flavors. It's just, you're bringing this out a little bit, that out a little bit, you know, so many different things you can do, but it's all there. And so then, whichever it is, then the devotees then expand in everything to match all that. So then they'll also have that, so therefore the cause and effect.
Yeah.
So it's, this particular mechanical level, you know, that's the one that's not generally discussed. So that's what we get into in Vedanta Sutra, because it only discusses that. The Bhagavatam will discuss that and all the other things, but we may not catch it. But because it's about Krishna, we catch the other things. We're still good. We still are absorbed in Krishna. We still advance. The Vedanta Sutra then basically, you know, catches the bull by the horns, and, you know, then you have to deal with it. But this is actually the exact point on which all these philosophies fall apart. So that's why if you can take it, you don't worry as much about their detail as about what is their purpose of those details and where it leads you. It leads you to this point, is that point of the glance, that transformation. Rama becoming Mahamaya, like this. So that's the whole thing, that's where they can't get. And so they come up with all kinds of theories to explain that.
And why they cannot get it? Because they don't have faith?
Yes, and where does faith come from? And how do you get that? Yes, and so is that their part of their process? No, so that they, it's not that. For the Shankyas, a major part of their process is associating with pure devotees. No. That's the whole thing, is that they can't know that part. They can get up to that part, and that's as far as they can get. That's why we take these six schools, we study these six. Not that all the philosophies of the world are following these six. They're following aspects of the six in their own unique combination. You know, it's just like one cafe, you know, okay, one street. Right? Oh, spectacular. There's so many streets, right? And there's so many cafes. And in each cafe, there's so many guys in black and white, you know, striped, long sleeve t-shirts with a beret and a goatee that are contemplating their philosophy. Like that. And each one is different. But at the same time, as they can all only get up to one point, where that one will emphasize this, one will emphasize that. Therefore, we'll say they're all different philosophies. But all the elements that they're talking about, they're all included in these six. But they'll come up with their unique blend of them. But by studying these six, you know all the philosophies. Does that make sense? Just like by studying the yoga ladder as given in the Gita, you know all yoga. Mm-hmm. But now, which combination? Someone's more on karma, someone's more on jnana, someone's more on jnana, like this. So you can go to a yoga studio, it doesn't matter. You can talk on karma, jnana, and jnana, how they're connected to pure devotional service, and bingo, they'll all understand. because they're only taking parts of these. They're not taking the whole. They're all taking part of Ashtanga Yoga. Which one they take is more important? You know, some will be asana, some will be pranayama, some will be the combination of that. Some will be the karma yoga that's there. You know, the yama and niyama. Does that make sense? So they all have something that they different that gives them their own unique thing. Someone else will do it in a room that's 38 degrees, you know, because that makes them, that's their special yoga, you know, sweat yoga, you know, whatever. You know, so it's like that. You know. I'm surprised no one does it in a, you know, how you say, minus five, you know, then you get the thing, you know, so it's a, yeah, Antarctic yoga or something.
Can you speak of that?
Huh? Penguin yoga. Penguin yoga, yeah, yeah. So they all wear black and white suits. Yes.
Can you speak of the four causes? Like,
and they dance a lot. Yeah.
The original formal material and the instrumental causes, the causes. So these people, they only go to the material causes, not even come to the formal causes, to original causes.
Even if they come to the formal, that won't accept the original, because for them the formal would be the pradhan. They don't understand that the formal actually means the internal potency, because pradhan's already external potency.
Yeah. So they come to the formal. Material.
But they'll say that original and form is all from pradhan. They'll just bring those to pradhan.
So they get it down.
Yeah, they just bring everything down.
Okay.
You know, it's the same thing. Just like I think the Greek is Aristotle. He does the four causes. Yeah, but he doesn't have them at, there's two on this side and two on that side. These are reflected of that. He just brings all four down into here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why you can discuss causation, but they don't understand it on the spiritual platform. So everything that anybody discusses is all part of the Vedanta philosophy. That's the glory of it. But you just have to catch what is their reason for doing it, because otherwise they'll have a particular way they're presenting it, so no matter what you say, it won't actually be addressing what they're doing.
Because
there's a purpose. So then when you get into the purpose of why they're doing it, that's when you bring it across to the primary and then show, just like we were showing there. The jivas are the cause of all this, because the jiva wants to know the difference between themselves and pradhan. Therefore, pradhan then manifests the material phenomena, so that the jiva then can go on in the illusion that they are different, and then or like this way. But then when they understand, no, they're the same, then that all disappears and they merge back in. So but why are they doing that? Why would they want to know the difference? Why would they want to go back? It's because they're trying to be happy.
Yes.
Right? Eternally. So eternal happiness is there in the jiva, in their relationship with the Lord. Everything else, even they go back into pradhan. The thing is that's just Mahavishnu breathes in. And everything just goes in. And, you know, it's all like that. And so then you're in that nothingness. So then you could take their philosophy and say it's Buddhism that they're saying, but ultimately their ultimate position will be that of the Buddhist. Right? Mm-hmm. Because when Mahavishnu breathes in, you only have nothingness. Because it's just deep sleep.
Yes.
It means they're all existing, but their perception of it is just nothingness. Because they're not perceiving at all. Right? So then saying that it goes back to the Buddhist idea of nothingness is not actually totally wrong, because ultimately that's where it goes, though they won't say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Mahavishnu glances and he breathes out, then the jivas all come out. Now they're all in a liberated state of Vasudeva Sattva.
Yes.
But they all still have the karana sharir, that they have the material desire, the desire to control and enjoy the material energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that state, they actually understand they're the soul, they understand the nature, they understand everything, but there's no devotion, so therefore they can't use it practically. Then there'll be the Brahma's creation, then they'll all be given bodies, and so now the main majority is karma, the attachment. So these three phases of karma, gyan, and then nothingness, you know, that's what is it? Raga, dvesha, bhaya, krodha. right? So that rag attachment, that fear, that's the liberation. And then the anger, that's the nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I tried karma, that didn't make me happy. I tried jnana or liberation, that didn't make me happy. So I become angry, so it's nothingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's these three states of existence that the living entity can be in the Mahatattva.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's why then they'll take their philosophy ultimately back to that at some point. So the Jaimini, well, it'll just go back to the karma. All the others generally go back to the yawn. But you see, as if you scratch a little more, it'll go back to the nothingness. Because they can't explain the position. Right? This they can explain, but then where does it come from? Then you get into the liberated state, but then that's not complete. So then there's just a nothingness. But because it's nothing, you don't think beyond that. You're satisfied. The Buddha said, oh, that's great. But then, because it doesn't address, you want to do something. And because it's nothing, now you just get into sense gratification. Yes?
True. So karma, jnana, krodha, what was the other?
Anger.
Krodha is anger.
Anger, yes. What's so you have attachment, fear, and anger. That's that Bhagavad Gita verse.
Yes.
That these four, these are the states of existence. So you have to give up all four of these. So that's why anger after frustration, it has to be given up. But its ultimate states is you just get rid of everything you're so angry. Right? It's totally destructive. So that's why it's the mode of ignorance. So it seems that it's going higher, but it's actually you're going quite low. Does that make sense? Okay. Sutra Prakashika. Herein, the Sutrakar refutes the erroneous conceptions put forth by the Shankya supporters. There is a difference in the cause and effect in terms of the distinction in qualities, nature, which enable to discriminate between the cause and effect. Otherwise, it would render the cause and effect identical, right? So, if you're going to say there's cause and effect, there must be a difference. Otherwise, they're the same thing. Right? But at the same time, there has to be something that is similar. That's why they're cause and effect. So that's why we see the achinta beta beta works so nicely, because they're one, and at their same time, they're different. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the Vaishnava philosophy answers it. But the easiest to answer it is the achinta beta beta tattva. All the others can do it, just takes a little bit more effort. Like that, because the point is everything coming from Krishna is perfect and complete. So because it's about Krishna, it is perfect. So any of the four sampradayas can explain it. But it's just the chinta beta beta tattva just makes it that much easier. Does that make sense? That's why it's the perfect philosophy for the age.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at the same time, it's the highest. That's the whole point, is that the highest element is what can be appreciated because it's so simple. So Braj can be appreciated much more than Vaikuntha. Right? Just the simplicity of it. But the point is that simplicity is actually the highest sophistication.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In its principle that's there. Its manifestation, it may use a simpler aspect, but it's actually way more sophisticated. So when the gopis are talking about the more sophisticated girls in Mathura, it means externally, yes, it appears to be more sophisticated. But actually, the gopis are more sophisticated. That's why the others all respect them. Right? The subtleties of the manifestation of their mood towards Krishna. Is that? Yeah?
Let me speak about this achinta beta beta. And as you said, that this is the topmost philosophy. But I've come across, like, it's so difficult to explain and convince, the other sampradayas regarding this.
But in one sense, you don't need to. The point is Vaishnavas get together, they talk about the glory of the Supreme. You don't have to talk about who's better than who.
Because if they discuss their philosophy, then even we should discuss our philosophy.
It's not a matter of that. They discuss their philosophy. It's already contained in ours. So we can discuss their point and go right into it and very nicely. And then in doing that, we can bring out other aspects that we understand that they may not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a problem.
It's not a different philosophy.
It's not a different philosophy, it's part of our philosophy.
Many times we focus on the oneness, then we focus on the difference. So, you know, because we keep on changing.
Yes, but the point is it's about Krishna. It's not about the technical detail. It's about, they're talking about Krishna serving Krishna, and we're talking about Krishna serving Krishna. And so, therefore, whatever's the topic, you discuss that. But in connection with Krishna. So you just see that it doesn't get off into something else and then you get distracted. Because that's what happens, that between the sampradayas, they discuss what's their difference rather than what's the same. Okay. Same with world religions. What's the difference rather than what's the same?
Okay.
Right? If it's the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, then it's the same guy. It's not a different guy. You know? And so therefore, then there should be some basis. Then there's those who don't accept God. Okay, now they're the different ones. You know what I'm saying? You know, but whatever it is, this kind of thing, the external identification is the standard in the world. You know, that's what we're doing. We're identifying with the externals. And so because our externals are different than your externals, then there's a problem. Right? But that's not actually the point, because it's the soul that's experiencing this like that. The body doesn't. So that's the more they understand. So you just discuss on what they're discussing.
Yes.
It's not a problem. Yes.
Actually, if very carefully, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu met with the members of all four sampradayas.
Yes.
And that's what he did.
Yes.
And
yes.
Without conflict, he directed them nicely.
Yes. Yes.
Like with Venkata Bhatta, initially he did, at the end then he pacified, or no problem.
Yeah, yeah. Because it means, in other words, you might something to see if it'll come to a higher level if they're interested, and if not, then you just encourage them at the level they're at, but not in a patronizing mood. It's just that it's good.
Yes.
You know, in other words, if they can only understand up to Mahanarayan, then you only discuss that high. You don't go higher. You can discuss Krishna's pastimes, but they think it's part of that. We know it's beyond. But by hearing from us, if they get attracted, then they might slowly, you know, make that adjustment. But the point is if that's their position, there's no need to adjust. So the main point is, if they're already in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, why do we need to make any adjustments? The point is it's all the people that are not there. You know what I'm saying? So that's a materialistic concept, though, which says, oh, they're that, they should be doing what we do. You know, the same way as, oh, we're here, and then there's all the other varieties of those coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya, they should all do what we do. No, we do what we do. If they want to take part, nice. If they do something, we okay. Like that. So it doesn't bother us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Because it's right. Why do you have to get bothered?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sri Govinda Bhasya. Right? So we're clear on this, that there has to be a difference. Otherwise, how are there two things, cause and effect? But at the same time, there has to be a similarity. Otherwise, why is there a connection between cause and effect? Right? You have to have the oneness, you have to have the difference. So all it is we'll be pointing out the oneness, because then that makes everything connected to Krishna. Well, they're pointing out the difference and not acknowledging the oneness, and then saying, how can they be connected? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Would it be proper to argue to calm the anger, to say there is nothing like nothingness?
It depends about how you're saying there's nothing like nothingness. There's nothing like nothingness. Means there is no nothingness. Or there's nothing like nothingness. Like, it's nothingness is the best. You know, so it just depends upon what effect you want to get.
Nothingness does not exist.
You can, but the point is that's one way to do it. And if you can get through and all that, then that's nice. Another way is, why are they interested in nothingness?
Frustration, anger.
And what will the nothingness offer?
Nothing.
Nothing. And yes. And then, what's the effect that they're looking for in this nothingness?
More anger.
Uh-huh.
More anger.
More anger. And what does anger give them? Some taste. So in other words, they're looking for some taste.
Yes.
Right? Some taste, you know, the anger, some relief, some concept of control. So whatever it is, ultimately it's they want to be happy. Whatever is their particular aspect. So the point is the soul by nature is happy because they're Satchitananda, so they're already that nature of happiness. But they're small. So the point is, and the soul coming from the Supreme, expanding from the Supreme, then that means they're part of the Supreme, because the Supreme is everything. And so only when they're in connection with the Supreme, through consciousness, can they be conscious of that position of happiness. So the happiness that they're looking for on that eternal platform is there by acknowledging our relationship with the Supreme. By nothingness, we may get rid of the pain of the material world, but we'll never actually cultivate the actual happiness that the jiva has. Right? Does that make sense? We're getting rid of the negative, but that doesn't mean we have the positive. Right? That's the whole point, is that you get rid of the problem doesn't mean that you've created a nice situation. Somebody says, so they have to understand this is two different things. So that they want to get rid of material endeavor and material, that faith in the material energy. That's fine. That's good. But that's all they're going to do. That's where the problem lies. They have to go further. They have to take it as that. Why? But who wants that? Because if it's all nothing, why would nothingness require something? And to get rid, why would nothingness want somethingness? And then to be able to appreciate that the nothingness is actually where it's at. So the point is nothing is nothing. So then there's nothing here. There's nothing to discuss about. You're nothing. I'm nothing. It's all nothing. So why are you even talking about it? Why is there sadhana? Why is there philosophy? It's all nothing, so just, it doesn't matter what you do. So that's why it gives rise to sense gratification, because then if it's all nothing, people just do whatever they want. Because there is no ultimate law. While Vaishnava, that controls things, that sets a thing, there's an original standard, therefore you have to come in line. While these other philosophies, if it's all nothing and all that, or it's all one, then it doesn't matter. It's either there's nothing there, so it doesn't matter, or it's all one and it doesn't matter. Whatever you do is the same. Does that make sense? So they give rise to sense gratification. So it's just a matter of, so who is that person that's worried about it? So that's what we're addressing. Is that, yes, you want to get rid of all the material problems, but who wants to get rid of them? That's the soul. And by saying you're nothing, then the only way it gets rid of it is that you're not doing anything material. That doesn't mean that your existence goes away. You can say you put out the candle and all that, but still, there's a candle there and there's a wick there, and fire as a principle still exists. So what's happened here? Then you're saying that a burning candle is worse than a non-burning candle. But everybody likes candles because they burn. So, hey, how does this work? You know, so the point is the soul is what wants to be happy. So therefore, why not address the soul and find out the actual nature of the soul and how that soul can actually be happy? And that's going to be by connecting with the original source rather than just getting rid of the material. Because nothingness means you've gotten rid of the material. It doesn't mean that you've actually come to the ultimate point, because they're not addressing spiritual. Is that something?
Yeah, it has to be brought to the...
Yeah, so that's why there's no need to argue on that point. It just shows that, because why say there is no nothingness? You just go, what's the purpose of the nothingness? So their nothingness, the Brahman, or the heavenly planets, it's all the same concept, that there's this ultimate they're trying to get to. But the point is that can't satisfy the soul, so you take it beyond that. Does that make sense? So you're taking what is the essence of what's that and taking them through with that. Rather, because the external they're always going to fight on. That's why we're saying the Vedanta is the universal philosophy. Because it already includes the principles that everybody else wants to do. And then, according to Shastra or not, they've come up with some certain details to express that. But the point is we don't need to get into the specifics of the expression. We have to get into why it's expressed. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, they are the cause of their own anger, because they first remove person or God, and then they become frustrated naturally.
Yes, in that way you can say they are. But in another way you can say is, no, it's just the mode of ignorance. So in other words, the mode of ignorance gives nothingness. The mode of passion gives karma, and the mode of goodness gives the vasudeva sattva. It's just the modes of nature. So they've tried the other things, they're frustrated, so the modes throw these out and they take it.
The only hope is help from the outside. Somebody.
Yes, that's the whole point, is spiritual life has to come from the outside. You can connect it to the principles of what they want from inside. Inside here meaning the material world. But it has to come from the association of that from which outside, because the Lord only himself reveals himself. So that makes sense. But the field that they're working in will try to relate Krishna consciousness to their field. But the only way that they can continue to be inspired, not get bewildered, is that that field is always connected back to the principle. Because if we don't connect it, then that's where the differences are seen, and that's where then all the different, we get bewildered, we get, you know, all the different variety of emotions and that that come up from not understanding the field of action. So, yeah?
This world is a world of angry souls.
Yeah, no, that's all. It's just that they're just frustrated, so then they come to that. You know, and so they're trying to create peace, but it's actually not peace from goodness. It's peace from ignorance. This means you're so ignorant. You know, it's like a rock. Rocks are real peaceful. Come along, drop them, kick them, take them home, dunk them in a bucket of water. They're always peaceful. But it's not because of goodness that they're conscious. It's because they're totally unconscious. So basically, the only thing that goes out is their consciousness. But their existence as a soul still exists. But because there's no consciousness, therefore, then there's no functioning of that. Therefore, we'll say it's spiritual suicide. But it's not that they get rid of themselves.
Yeah.
It's just that for that time, then they're just doing nothing.
The consciousness.
Yeah, it's just their consciousness is that. So that's why after that, then they'll come back as these kind of things that don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
In Bhagavad Gita, regarding these four causes, whenever Krishna is telling in the chapter Karma Yoga or 13 to 18, so he is assigning for all the results or whatever is happening to Prakriti, means three modes of material nature.
Yes.
So can we say that when it comes to bhakti, it is dealing with the internal energy, and when it is...
Yeah, because the external energy is a transformation of the internal.
Yes.
So if you're doing... So what's the difference? One is being done to please Krishna, one's not being done to please Krishna.
Yes.
So we're dealing with the external energy in the mechanics, but because we're doing it for Krishna, we're actually dealing with the internal potency. Because it's the same person.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's the whole thing, it's the same person.
Yes.
It's not different. So that means they can do those things even if it's in the other environment, because they're the one in control of it. You know, let's say there's something they generally do in their office and they're out on the street. It doesn't mean that they can't get done what they do in the office out there on the street. Yes. But they're only doing that for you because of your relationship. Everybody else has to come to the office. They come up and say, hey, could you do this? You know, I want to get this done. To come to the office, make an appointment.
Yes.
Right? But for someone who's a close friend says, yeah, sure, I'll take care. You know, so that's the difference. So we're taking it. It's totally different, but they're different, but the same.
Hmm.
Right? They're the same, that is, it's Maya, but they're different, so that's why there's Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Hmm. But it's still the Lord's one energy.
Yes.
It's just different facets of that. Does that make sense? So that's why if we understand everything in connection to Krishna, we can always appreciate Krishna. We can always be God conscious.
Yes.
Right, but being God conscious, that's your first step. Then it's developing that prema for Krishna. Right, so just having that knowledge doesn't mean you have prema. But those on the platform of prema, they already have this knowledge, because since this is a earlier step. So they can see Krishna in everything, but they see Krishna as a person and their relationship with Krishna. Well, we'll just see, oh, it's God, he's in everything, he controls everything, Krishna is this, he's that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So now, in the material world, there are all these philosophies, but everybody is sooner or later is going to go back to the spiritual world.
Everyone eventually will go back. It's just a matter of how stubborn they are. Some will take a little longer, some a little shorter. But basically, yeah, everybody will go back to that because that's their natural position. How long can you go on in this artificial position? Because if we say the material world is temporary, then that means material existence has to be temporary.
Yes.
Even though,
yes,
by our calculation, it may,
yes,
seem like forever. That's why the term is used. Right? So you can use the term anadi to just mean it's forever. You can't do it. But at the same time, there is an end.
Yes.
Because there was a beginning.
Yes.
So anything that has a beginning has an end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But our position and relationship to Krishna, that doesn't have any beginning. That's eternal. Therefore, there's no end.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but when we say there's an end, I mean there's always new creation.
That goes on, but we're not part of it, so what do you care?
Yeah, but there's, like in the 16th chapter, Krishna says, you know, I throw him into demoniac species of life again and again.
Yeah, but that's them, not you. What do you care? You know, unless you're taking up the Sankirtan mood, then you're going to go preach to them.
So for the conditioned living entity, it's practically eternal material existence.
It's practically eternal by our standards here, but from there, one lifetime of Brahma is 3/4 of a second for Mahavishnu. You know what I'm saying? So that means you're, let's say, 100 lifetimes of Brahma, you're in the material world. That's a long time. That's 75 seconds. That's 1.25 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So it's not all living entities will go back. It's just that as they go away from Krishna, they just go down and down in the species of life. But then when it gets so grungy, that at some point they just get so disturbed with that, then they try to be nice, and then they go up the cycle of samsara until they reach the pinnacle, and then they become proud. Then they go down the other side. Right.
Until they meet the pure devotee.
Yeah, so they just keep going around them. So it's they do the pious activity, they go to the heavenly planets. Krishna also describes that. So all the things, you're pious, he describes what happens there. You're impious, he describes what happens there. And that will go on as long as you're not interested in why it's going on. And as soon as you are, then you come in contact with the pure devotees, and then you'll get out of the cycle at some point. It may take many lifetimes, but the point is, as many lifetimes on this platform, how long is that? Compared to how many lifetimes it took for you to come to that understanding. So, yeah.
The question regarding Yogmaya and Mahamaya. So when we say that Mahavishnu, he does the creation, at that point in time, Mahamaya comes into existence.
No, Mahamaya is always there.
Yeah, I mean to say in terms of the definition of satan asad that we saw earlier, you know, existence.
Yeah, it's just manifest.
So she manifests, and therefore we say of the difference. But when the winding comes, then she is not existing, but in a subtle form she does exist. So then that oneness we speak of. So
yeah, because the point is in Rama Devi, she already includes the external potency. Because it's just an office of her duties.
Okay.
So Mahavishnu's consort, Rama Devi, she's the one who's transforming. Does that make sense? Like that, because it's when you get down to here, that's where you see this transformation. Because
yes,
up there, then you get Sri Bhu and Nila.
Yes.
But here, then you get these other aspects.
Right? About the theorizations of nothingness and their nothingness philosophies, Albert Camus drove his car off the cliff, and he was the youngest Nobel Prize winner. Yeah, youngest Nobel Prize winner for literature. And when Prabhupada heard this, the disciples reported Prabhupada that he's such a, you know, pakka philosopher that he followed his philosophy to the end. Prabhupada said, "No, it's a trick because he wants name and fame after death."
Yeah, because the point is, if there's nothing, why do you have to do anything?
Yes. Why do you want
to
drive the car?
Why do you drive the car off the cliff? Yes. Because if it's nothing, you don't have to do that. You just have to sit. You know, you don't have to do anything. You know. So yeah. Yeah, name and fame, then he'll be remembered for that. Yeah, he is remembered. For, and only for that, driving his car off the cliff. Right? So that's the point. It's just a waste of time. Okay. Sri Govinda Bhashya, Siddhanta. There is no fault in this. Why? The sutra says, Pratishedha Matratvat. The world is not unreal merely because it is in nature different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. The previous sutra denied that the substance and its ingredient must have the same nature. It is not that a thing and its ingredient are different in substance. This is so because the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes transformed, becoming the body of the material world, which is by nature different from Him. Right? So the difference is not a problem that there's a difference because He transforms, right? Through His energy, but He transforms. So there has to be a difference, otherwise they'd be identical. Right? What's the point? Objection by the Sutrakar. Is it because, one, you mean that the world does not have all of Brahman's qualities, or because, two, none of his qualities are present in the world, that you reject the idea of Brahman as the ingredient of the material world? So, Uttara by the Sutrakar. The first is not a good reason, because difference is naturally present in the relationship between ingredient and product. For example, a clay pot or other piece of pottery is because it is not an amorphous lump. Amorphous lump. Unlike the ball of clay, that is its ingredient. Right? So it's a pot, not just a lump. Right? So there's a difference. In this way, they are different. You cannot mean the second because that is without foundation. Right? So none of his qualities are present. So you see that the nature of clay is within the pot. But the pot's not just a lump. Mm-hmm. So that's why you can tell one's a lump and one's a pot. No, they're both clay. So everything is ultimately the Supreme Lord. But you can tell the difference between what's the material manifestation, what's the spiritual manifestation, and who is He Himself. Right? The one who's beyond all that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Purvapaksha. So now then they'll have their argument. The qualities of the ingredient that differ it from the other thing should be transferred from the ingredient to the substance it creates. The qualities that distinguish gold from thread are also seen to distinguish gold bracelets and other ornaments from cloth made of thread. Uttara. Because insects come from honey, many other things are also created from ingredients very unlike the final product. And even articles of gold often present a nature very different from the original substance. This argument is not valid. Just as gold is not different from the Chintamani jewel that created it, and a bracelet is not different from the gold that created it, in the same way the material world, because it is created from the Supreme Reality, is not different from Him and is therefore not unreal. So it's come from the Lord, so just as He's real, it's real. But it doesn't have all the qualities that is there, but it comes from that nature. Yes.
So these philosophies can be defeated by showing the similarities that are there.
Whatever it is, if they're pushing on difference, you show the similarity. If they're showing similarity, you show the difference. Point is there, if that's why we mentioned about exclusive monism as a problem. But monism, we on one aspect of philosophy, we're monists because it's all Krishna. But at the same time, is that there's a variety in this because of energy. He's a non-dual living entity. But at the same time, is his energies that are non-different from him have different manifestations than he himself does, though it comes from him. So that's where the root goes back to, is that they're discussing it here on Padan and the material energy and then Brahman, but it ultimately comes back to Krishna, then is different from his energies. But at the same time, he's the same. Because otherwise, if he's not the same, how do they have pastimes? But if he's not different, how do they have pastimes? Right? Because if there's not two, how do you interact? But if there's not something common, how do they interact?
So they actually become theists if they have to accept the achinchya.
Yes, that's the difficulty that's there. So you deal on one or the other, because for us both parts are correct. So whatever their misunderstanding and the other one they say is not there, we prove that it's there. And if by doing that then they accept the philosophy, then that's nice. Whether you don't have to necessarily the achinta focus on that, because that's probably the more difficult part. But the point is you've defeated that aspect of their philosophy, so now they'll start to look at what is there. Right? Because you're trying to get it back to its connection to Krishna. So once you show that connection to Krishna, that's where then things start to work. Is that? Yes.
The argument sounds good because we know the nature of the Lord is Satchit and Ananda.
Yes.
And then the difference from the material is very obvious, because here it's Asat, Achit, and Nirananda.
Yes.
So, but the oneness is very subtle.
Yes.
So then, how they argue, you know, common people they accept, because it's,
yes,
it's very obvious.
Yes. Yes. That's the point. Is that these? That's why he says this. You know, it may be accepted by fools, because it's very easy. That's why the grosser things seem to be more prominent, and the subtler things that then. We may say, oh, that's just theory, it's not practical.
Yeah.
No, it just means you don't understand it, not that it's, you know, that's the point. It says, why use that? Because for some people, let's say for a physicist, dealing in subtleties like this, this is their solid, you know, position. So it's just a matter of perception. But the aspect of... darkness is absence of light. So that means there's a connection.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can classify them both into, to, you know, day and night. That'll be one category. So therefore, it's one category of creator and creator, that you have the Satchitananda and then Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. Because there, it's just the lacking of the other. But still, the potency for it to be lacking still has to come from somewhere. Material nature doesn't produce, you know, itself the concept of Nirananda. That has to come from another entity that has that potency. Because then we're saying the independence, that material energy is producing it itself. But it can't. Because it's just the opposite of the other. That means in the original itself, it has that and its opposite. So that's the point, is Krishna is all those contradictory elements. He always has the one, it includes the other. But when it's connected to him, it's perfect. Just like you say, you have the form of happiness, the form of unhappiness. So here, the two are very different, because we're only dealing the external. And so, you know, one we like, one we don't like. Right? But then in the spiritual world, because it's all connected to him, therefore the seeming happiness, the form of that, and the seeming unhappiness, because it's all connected to him, it all just gives transcendental ecstasy. Because why wouldn't it? We might say, no, it should be, it wouldn't. But he, including who has all unlimited qualities, who are all contradictory, is self-satisfied. He's Atmarama. So he's always in that bliss of self-satisfaction. So him having all those together, he's in Atmarama. So therefore, seeing it in connection to him, minimum effect it should give is that Atmarama experience. Right? Just appreciating that. You know, and so that's why you see is these great personalities are called Atmarama, where they see everything in connection to the Lord. And so they experience that Atmarama that the Lord experiences. Right? 'Cause they're in connection with it. But now, if you interact based on those things within that, you use the seemingly external points of happiness and distress and act on that based on that affection between the living entity and the Lord, that gives rasa, that gives unlimitedly greater happiness. Is that?
Yeah.
So its origin is there, but because you can only discuss that point with devotees, therefore we discuss down on the Brahman level. Yogis, then you can throw in Paramatma. Whoever accepts that, you can throw that in. But otherwise, Brahman is enough to deal with anybody's philosophy. Like that. And then from there, then as they go, then you take it up. When they accept, okay, the Lord and His supremacy and He creates, then you can bring it up to the next. So it's only with devotees you can actually discuss it on that platform. But if you only take the external and think, oh, because I'm doing the external, that makes it God consciousness. That's like the sahajas. But it's the primary that actually makes it. And then you're using the variety of the secondary. So, yeah. So you can see is that this level of the philosophy is so simple and so clear. That's why it's said in the spiritual world there's only one philosophy. Right? Everybody accepts that principle of there's no difference of opinion. There may be difference in taste, but not an opinion on who's God and what's the living entity and if we're a servant or not. Like that. That's all the same, because it's the, you're dealing with the same substance, the non-dual substance. So even Madhva, who talkly is about, you know, there's two and will never in any way accept the slightest bit of oneness. When he talks about the relationship with the Lord in the spiritual world, then he talks about the oneness aspect. But only there. Nothing this side. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki Jai Nitai Govinda.